Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Howdy. Welcome to session 40 of Selling the Couch. I have no idea why I just said howdy. The Texan in me, I think, just came out. So anyway, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. I have a very special guest on the podcast today. His name is Neil Patel. If you've never heard of Neil's name or don't recognize it, I think you probably recognize some of the products that he's created. The first is Hello Bar, which is that bar that you often see on the top of websites that tell you to opt in to a newsletter or something like that. The second one is Crazy Egg, which is a heat tracking software. It actually tells you what pages people are most on your website, and then more specifically on each website, where they are clicking on. So it gives you an idea of where to put your best content. Neil has been recognized by the UN and by President Obama as one of the top entrepreneurs in the world. And today I wanted to have Neil on because Neil is actually one of the go-to people when it comes to search engine optimization. He consults with companies like Amazon and Viacom and teaching them how to improve their search results so that their results come up faster and quicker and higher on search engines. And I wanted to have Neil on because I think this area of search engine optimization is something we have to now think about as clinicians. And so in today's session of Selling the Couch, we talk about how to actually figure out what people are searching for when it comes to looking for counselors in your area. And then we go into this idea of how do you figure out this whole thing of local searches and how do you get your website to rank higher when it comes to local searches? Because the reality is most of us have a private practice in a physical location. And so it's very helpful to have it come up in general searches, but you definitely want to have it come up, for example, when someone types therapist, comma, and then whatever city that you're living in. And then Neil and I also talk about just some general blog post tips and some tips to actually improve the ranking of blog posts when it comes up on search engines. This is a really quick conversation. It's a little shorter than usual. Neil is actually traveling and then also working on some big projects. And he was gracious to join me, but a little bit shorter, but chock full of information. So here's my conversation with Neil Patel from quicksprout.com. Hey, Neil, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty excited about our conversation. So this whole area of search engine optimization, SEO, whatever you want to call it, exactly what is it and why is it so important?
Yeah, so search engine optimization, also known as SEO, is like the art and science of ranking on Google. So if you type in, and I'm saying Google because it's the most popular search engine, right? Mm-hmm. If you go to Google and you type in a query, you'll notice on the top, very top, few listings, and on the right side, there's going to be ads in most cases. And all the stuff beneath that in the middle is the free results. That's what we call SEO, right? That's organically ranking, non-paid ads. So if you can create a good product, good service, you have really good content, if people enjoy reading your site and linking to it and sharing it, all these things affect how high you're going to rank.
Okay, so there's definitely like a shareability factor that plays into SEO.
Yeah, they say social shares don't impact rankings, and they're probably correct on that. But the things that do impact rankings are, let's say, like links. How many other websites linking to your site? A link being a vote. So like the more sites linking to you that are relevant, the higher rankings are going to be. Now, if you get a lot of social shares, what does that mean? More people come to your site, right? Mm-hmm. If more people visit your webpage or your site, that should increase the probability that someone will link to your site.
That makes a lot of sense. So I know for me, a lot of my listeners are mental health private practitioners who have local businesses, right? Like brick and mortar type businesses. So how would something like search engine optimization, how would that work for someone that is looking for like local searches?
Yeah, so SEO can be done for localized businesses. Google has this thing called their Search Console. It's a free program by Google. Go to it. Just Google Search Console. And you sign up and you can tell Google like, hey, this is my website and here is the region that I'm focusing on. So you can say, hey, my target audience is the United States or Los Angeles or whatever it may be, right? I don't know how specific they get city-wise, but I do know you can target regions.
I guess they're usually in cities, but I guess the most you could do is regions, right?
I believe so. That's correct.
Okay, and then so once they've set their regions up, what do they do?
It helps them get rankings within that region. You can also submit to Google Maps, so that way they know which region you're based in, and they'll verify it by calling you or sending you a postcard in the mail. Okay. You can also submit to all the local directories. That helps a lot. There's this other program called getlisted.org. It'll forward you to a different domain name, but check out getlisted.org, and it'll also help get your business in all the localized places so you can get more local traffic.
Oh, that's awesome. I hadn't heard of getlisted.org. So, you know, just in terms of some of the other thoughts, you know, most of these private practitioners now, we all have websites. And so what are some tips that you have to actually help with the website part of it and how to improve those rankings?
Yeah, so you have to keep your code clean. What I mean by that is if a search engine can't read your code and it's messy, then you won't be able to get rankings. So if you use like a platform to create your website, like WordPress or whatever it may be, WordPress works with more than just blogs, it makes sure that your code is pretty friendly so you don't have to worry about a lot of the on-page code factors, mm-hmm. right? And then the other portion, like I mentioned earlier, was links, which is a huge factor. And the more sites you get linking to you as you create good content, good products, good services, you'll notice that should increase over time. Right. The third factor is content. So blogging, writing good informational articles that help people, that's always useful as well, because that shows the search engines that, hey, the information you're putting on your site is very valuable and it'll benefit other people and they'll enjoy reading it.
So is there a relationship between like the status of a website and whether you get backlinks from a site? Like, I don't know if that makes sense, like Psychology Today or something like that.
Well, typically sites that link to you are going to be in your industry or related to you, obviously non-competitors. And what you'll see is as you produce more content, more good information, the chances of you getting more links increases.
Mm, okay.
That makes sense.
You know, we're starting to write blog posts on our website and you alluded to that. The key is the importance of consistent content. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. And then what are some ways to actually improve rankings when it comes to those blog posts?
Well, once you write the blog posts, you also want to do keyword research. So you can use tools like Google Traffic Estimator. You can use a tool called keywordtool.io. And these tools will help you determine what words people are searching for and are looking for. So if you start using them throughout your blog post, you don't want to just stuff them in, but only when it makes sense and it's also beneficial to the reader. If you start using them, it should help increase your rankings and traffic as well.
Oh, I see. I mean, that was actually a question that I had. So it sounds like those are tools. I guess, how would you figure out for a localized business, how would you figure out what people are actually searching for in that area? Or is that even possible?
Yeah, it is possible. If you use Google Traffic Estimator and you plug in some keywords related to your field, it'll tell you what people are searching for within your space. And they'll give you suggestions on other keywords too. And they'll show you their popularity.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't heard of that tool. Thanks for sharing that.
And it's a free tool by Google. It doesn't cost a dime.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Just in general, if we could even take a step back into this world of SEO, what are some common mistakes that you've noticed with folks that have websites when it does come to SEO? And then, what should they do instead?
The biggest mistake we see is companies don't even try to update their website. Now, I'm not saying you should update all your pages, but you should continually add new pages of good, valuable information that benefits people. That's the biggest thing I'm seeing companies not do that they should be doing, especially localized ones.
Okay, so it's like, for example, like regular blog post, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and why does that matter, like in terms of rankings, having that consistent content?
Well, what would Google rather do? Rank a site that's 5 years old and hasn't been updated, or a site that is brand new with new and fresh information that continually helps more and more people?
Right, so there's definitely a motivation for Google to have websites that are up to date, in other words.
Yeah, and the real motivation is it benefits their users. Google wants to do whatever best for people. Google isn't a company that says, hey, we need to rank these sites because it makes us more money. Indirectly, by ranking better sites and doing what's best for the user, keeps people using Google. And in the long run, yes, Google does make more money, but they're not malicious. They're not saying, we're going to create this algorithm this way because it makes us an extra dollar. They do try to put the user first in almost every single scenario, which then creates the loyalty and the brand affinity towards Google, which causes more people to use their stuff and eventually causes more ad clicks in the long run, which helps them make more money.
Oh, so interesting. So you said the first point would be that people aren't putting enough new and relevant content like consistently. What are some other things that you've noticed people don't do?
Other thing that I notice is people don't try to keep making their site compatible with multiple devices, especially localized businesses. A lot of people look up localized businesses on a phone. So you need to make sure that your website isn't just desktop compliant or laptop compliant, but it also works on a mobile device or a tablet as well.
Okay, so like you would need something that's mobile optimized, ideally, if you're using any kind of like a website design.
That's correct.
Okay, and then what else do you notice?
The other thing that we notice is how people link their pages. So you can't just set up pages and be like, oh, they're independent. Your site has to flow together. So like if I had a localized pizza business and I talk about pizza dough and making the best pizza dough, I may have another article on how long to cook the dough. I can link the dough article on making the best dough to also how to cook it. You get what I mean? And vice versa.
Yeah, right. So essentially, if you create two different related blog posts, you want to cross-link those to one another.
That's correct.
Okay. And then I guess at a macro level, like why does that matter for Google since it's more like just within your site?
Well, it benefits the user because the user can then look at other related articles and it helps them create a better product. The next one is for Google, it benefits them because it makes it easier for them to crawl more pages on your site, right? It's a bot. They have to find all the pages on your site. So if you create that, it'll actually help them figure out, oh, you have more pages. We should rank all these pages as well on Google.
One of the other things, I know that just following your blog, you're a huge advocate of just social sharing, just in general. What is this connection between social media sharing and SEO?
So the connection between social sharing and SEO is the more shares you get, more people will end up coming to you, right? To your website. More people that come to your website, more chances that they'll link to you. The more links you get, the higher your rankings will eventually be in Google.
And then, Neil, one of the things I've noticed is like sometimes this was actually one of the listeners who had asked this question. Sometimes they notice that their local search engines, like when they look up, for example, anger management in then the whatever city they're in, it'll rank like, I don't know, 10 or 11 one day, and then it'll rank like 18 or 19 like the next day or the day after that. Why does it vacillate so much like that?
So you're saying why do the rankings that Google's showing change a lot?
Yeah.
Well, it's depending on a lot of factors. Are you signed in? Are you not signed in? Where are you based out of? Are you typing from a mobile device versus a computer? Right? They're trying to show you the optimal results for that time that you are in the day, what device you're using, et cetera. So they're trying to create that personalized experience to give you, the end user, the result you're looking for.
That's crazy. I had no idea, like all of those little factors, like days of the week and type of device and all that played a role in it.
Well, if you type in like restaurants, right, Google will show restaurants. They do even list in their sidebars of restaurants open or closed. Why would they want to show you a closed restaurant when they could show you restaurants that are open, right? As a user, if you typed in pizza restaurant in Las Vegas, Nevada, and all the listings Google showed you were closed that day, what would you think about Google? you probably wouldn't want to use it as often, right? You'd be like, this is useless. Mm-hmm. So of course they want to try to customize and provide you the best experience.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's what you said earlier. Like, it really is about that end user and that user feeling like Google is a place they can come to over and over again.
Yep.
You know, one of the things I was just also thinking about is there are so many platforms, whether it's blogging, podcasting, creating videos. Let's say someone just had a website and they were just getting started. Where would you start?
So where would I start? I would just start. So you're saying if they have a simple website or they don't have a simple website?
Yeah, if they have a simple website, but they don't maybe have any blog posts up, or but they're thinking about whether they should blog or create some videos, or they should do some kind of podcast and then, you know, have show notes on their page.
Start with blogging. It's a one thing where you can write one blog post. If you're not happy, you can write more or less, right? Mm-hmm. Versus if you do something like podcasting, it takes way more time, effort. You can't do it at your own pace. But I would just start with blogging.
Great. Neil, the last question that I had for you was, what are some of the best places to get started with learning SEO?
You can check out quicksprout.com. And then when you go there on the blog, you'll see a lot of articles on SEO. There's even guides in the sidebar. The guides are like beginner's guide to online marketing, SEO, etc. So I'll teach you everything you need to know.
I've personally looked through several of those guides. They're amazing. I mean, you did such a good job putting those together.
Thank you.
Neil, thank you so much for doing this. Besides QuickSprout, what are other ways that folks can get in touch with you?
You can do it at neilpatel.com.
Awesome. Neil, thank you again for doing this and take care, okay?
You too.
Hey, what's up? Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Neil. I feel like I have a lot of things to think about when it does come to search engine optimization, and I don't know that I have anything new to add. I think a lot of things that Neil mentioned, I'm going to take away. I actually hadn't heard of some of those tools, and I think it's something that I'm going to definitely be experimenting with on the Selling the Couch blog. One of the resources that I highly recommend is to check out Neil's QuickSprout blog. There are some just fantastic articles on there, and it's one of the few blogs that I actually subscribe to and that I get pretty much updates from. Neil actually has a bunch of guides when it comes to different parts of doing business online, all the way from content marketing. So how do you actually produce really good content, all the way to search engine optimization. Those guides are super valuable. I know he spent a lot of time on them. So definitely check them out. You can find more information about Neil again at quicksprout.com or at neilpatel.com. Show notes to today's episode are at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 40. Thank you again for continuing to spread the message of the podcast with our colleagues. It's much appreciated. And if we ever get to meet in person, I will shake your hand, and if it is therapeutically appropriate or appropriate just in general, I will give you a hug. Okay, take good care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.